And welcome everyone to South Florida. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. And you're listening to the rippling rhythms there of Tajamura 7. I'm Margaret Gray.
Thank you very much, Margaret, and welcome everybody here to South Florida. And this is the world famous Phil Henry Show, as Margaret just told you. We also have Frank Gray with us. Bud Dickman's with us. Now, where is everybody, Bud?
They're kind of drifting in, you know, coming in late.
Well, what is that about? Don't worry about it, Frank. They're drifting in late.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. General Shaw is not going to be in until tomorrow. And then another thing.
He's making it up as he goes.
Well,
but do we know?
Not really, no. But I know that General Shaw will probably be here tomorrow night.
Let me guess, about a 10:30?
Yeah. But...
Okay. When is General Shaw coming here?
Sorry. I believe he's going to be here tomorrow night about 10:30.
So, in other words, that's when his plane's getting in.
But I'll do this, Phil. When is General Shaw's plane getting in?
I do not know.
You do know or you don't know?
I do.
You do know?
No, I do not know.
Bud, I'm going to haul off.
I swear to God, I do not know.
Then why do you think he's getting in tomorrow night at 10:30?
Because I believe that's what he said.
So General Shaw said he was pulling in tomorrow night?
Yeah, it's exactly what he said. He said, I'm pulling in tomorrow night at 10:30, and hell follows with me. That's all I know what he said.
What the holy Christ?
Wait a minute, Frank. I've got this. He said what?
Would you guys hold on for a minute? Obviously, he's screwing with us. General Shaw said he's pulling in tomorrow night at 10:30, and hell follows with him.
Yeah.
Well, what is it laughing at?
It, Frank, is Phil Hendry.
I know.
And it's obvious. I mean, he's obviously laughing at... What are you laughing at?
I don't know. Welcome to the show.
Well, you must know...
No. Welcome to the show, folks. The Phil Hendry Show here from South Florida, here on the beautiful, luxurious patio at Jackie's place. I'm looking at her pool, but more importantly, and more to the point, I'm looking at a pitch-black sky, a dark and foreboding sky that has been a part of our experience since we... Now, if you listen to the pre-show, you'll know that when we got here on Saturday evening, Jackie and I immediately went over to a restaurant called Tap 24, and we had a very delicious meal there. It was kind of a sushi thing, kind of a sushi slash... German Heidelberg thing. I'm just kidding. It was mostly a salmon bowl and...
I think Jackie had the salmon bowl and you had the sushi bowl. I had, Phil...
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Margaret and Frank were... But you guys came in late, too. Oh, we did. We came... And don't get it...
Go ahead, Frank. We did. We came in at 8:30.
We did. We came in at 8:30. And I got the same thing. Phil had the sushi bowl. And Margaret, what did you have?
I believe I had the chicken rouge... You know.
What?
What is that?
Get the look off your face, Bud.
Like,
just get that look off the face.
All right. What is it?
Chicken Laurent.
Orange chicken.
Thanks a lot, Phil.
Orange chicken.
You know what I love about you, Phil? You get a kick out of life each and every day, don't you?
I do.
I love it about it. It laughs. It sings. That's what I love about it more than anything. You're laughing.
Frank, don't you dare laugh.
Why not?
Because this should be taken seriously. I said I had chicken rouge. And as Bud,
yeah, I'm a man, okay? I'm a full-grown man.
All right. As Bud asked me, what is that? Phil jumped in and said,
orange chicken.
Margaret, is it not orange chicken?
Margaret, is it not? Yes, it's orange chicken, but he asked me.
That's right, Phil. It asked it. So what are you going to do about that? Oh, listen to it giving me all kinds of a hard time here. I'm trying to tell it that, Frank, I got it, okay? All right, I'm sorry, Margaret. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. What I had over at Tap 24, Frank, yes, indeed did have the salmon bowl, didn't you?
I forgot. It was the sushi. It was in a bowl. Well, I had the sushi bowl. Jackie had a salmon bowl. All right, I think I had what Jackie had, because what you had didn't look good to me at all. Well, I can tell you right now, it was delish.
Yes, but you did complain there wasn't enough of it.
No, there wasn't enough of it. Well, that's why I had the salmon. I think there's a little tiny itsy-bitsy weeny piece of salmon. Boy, I want to bust in and get that.
Where, in the refrigerator?
Yeah, no, it's laying out in the street, yes.
All right, Frank, go get your salmon. Bud?
Yes, ma'am?
Chicken L'Orange You know what? It's orange chicken.
Yeah.
That's, well, it's too late now.
I was just curious because I know my mother used to make a mole sauce. Very delectable.
Oh, she did. Do you know what mole sauce is?
Yes, it's a chocolate-based sauce. What's made in Mexico?
Well, get a load of you.
That's right, Miss Gray. I know some things. I know things. I know. I've seen worlds you. I've seen worlds you can only imagine.
Oh my ass.
Hey, Margaret.
Yes.
This is what you sounded like. Oh my ass.
Phil, I come to Florida as a mercy trip for you to help support. To help.
Yeah, to help suspend you.
To help support you.
Did you get that salmon? I did. Very delicious.
To help support you, me now?
Yes, go ahead, Miss Gray.
Thank you. To help support you during these remote broadcasts, I come to Florida with good tidings and good cheer, all right? So I would rather that you not try to butch me up at every...
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Henry,
I'm not doing it. You are.
Well, you piss me off sometimes, Phil. As much as I love and respect you, you piss me off.
All right, yeah.
Eat your salmon, Frank.
That is very good salmon, though. That was a Tap 24.
Tap 24 is wonderful. It used to be mashed. My understanding is it's over in Davie. Is that where we go?
Yeah, we've been going to Davie. You've been thinking for the longest time that we was in Fort Lauderdale. It's in Davie.
Yeah, it's in Davie.
Mmm.
What?
Ow, 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 ow. That really hurts.
Oh, come on. It thinks that going to Davie is slumming it. Because it saw a bunch of horse farms and it saw... Hey, let me tell you something. Davie is where WIOD used to be. That was where...
That's where you used to work, right, Mr. Henry?
Exactly. That's where I worked. No. Excuse me. Not WIOD. WSHE.
That's what I mean.
That's what he meant.
That's what it meant. That's what I mean. Yeah, it was... WSHE was located...
There's a plane coming over.
Margaret, we're not exactly in a soundproof booth.
All right. How's the salmon?
Goddamn good.
Yeah, let me take a few...
I'm talking.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so WSHE was in Davie.
WSHE was in Davie. I used to drive out to Davie every day when I worked at WSHE back in 78. Now, Davie... And back then, it was nothing but a bunch of horse farms. I mean, as far as the eye could see. Now, Davie has a little bit of a city center. And they have a thing over there. I don't know why they do that. Well, I guess they do it for the touristas or something. But everything you build, if you have a business over there, if you have a home, you have to have it look like a ranch. It's got to have an old Western look to it. Do you know anything?
Yeah, I know a little bit about it, Phil, because Tug Barkley and I, who is an attorney, when I was down here, when I owned a couple of bottomless bars, and I got closed down because...
Frank, you never said you owned bottomless bars. I know that you owned a strip place.
Well, I got closed down. I was one of the first guys in Fort Lauderdale to own a bottomless. And Tug Barkley, who is also an attorney, and I went in partners on a bottomless joint. And you might say the bottom fell out of the bottom, of the no bottom place. Well,
thank you. Anyway, you were saying...
Yeah, so what happened was Tug Barkley and I... bought some property in the city center of Davie, but then I got out of town as fast as I could, so.
That was in the 60s?
That was in the 60s, and then what happened was that property at Tug got the larger share of it, and it sold off to some people and some commercial interests and so on and so forth, you know.
Well, Davie now has got shopping centers, all kinds of stuff, but it is kind of like the... Would you say it's like the more the rednecky?
Well, you shouldn't use the word redneck when you're talking about South Florida, Phil, because there's so much there's also very much more. There is the sophistication of the South American Carib culture. There is a very thick and luxurious European influence in South Florida. And of course, you have the East Coast. Many of our Northeastern friends come to South Florida to luxuriate, to lounge about. In many ways, to just lay around like a bunch of slobs. That's
not fair, Margaret.
That wasn't fair of me. I'm sorry. Come down and have a good vacation. And yes, then you have... Is that...
Yeah, Ms. Gray, there's a plane come over right now.
Go ahead, Margaret. As you said, we're not in a soundproof studio.
You're right. What is it, bud?
It's not the... It is not the banana of the sky.
What the hell is the banana of the sky?
The banana of the sky is Spirit Airlines. No, it's not. You're right. But yes, Davie, in its own way, has attracted That segment of the American population, primarily those from the Southeast, a great many of them native-born to the state of Florida, that one would call redneck. I wouldn't go that far. I would say they are rural. Okay?
Well, my...
Rural, Frank. Do you understand?
I get it already. What's with it? Margaret, I was going to agree with you.
All right, but I want to make sure that you've got the word.
Yes, I got it. Rural.
Rural. So you have a segment of people living in Davie that are oriented toward the rural. Okay? And that, in and of itself, and by the way, I said, okay, in honor of our dear friend Bobby Dooley.
Did she make it down?
She did.
Holy Jesus.
Yeah, Ms. Dooley pulled in about 8:30.
Knock it off, bud.
All right, sorry.
Is Steve with her?
Is Steve with her? Where does she go without Steve? Does Steve go anywhere without her? Yes, that's like asking, is her left ass cheek with her? I'm sorry.
Margaret, that was uncalled for.
Well,
all right, so Bobby Dooley will be along later, but we're talking here with Margaret Gray. This is kind of interesting to me, man, when we go back, because Frank, every time I'm down here with you, you remember your days in South Florida, in Miami. I remember very fondly, but...
I didn't know you owned a bottomless joint with Tug Barkley.
I had the it. Look, a Tug came to me with a deal. And we were a couple of punk kids out of law school. I was pushing 30. And I said, what do you got, Tug? I sat down with it one day for a cigar and a breakfast. And Tug looks at me and says, I got this bar on Collins, just above the beach. And I think it might feel good. I think it's a good fit for you and a good fit for me. I said, all right, what's it look like? And Tug told me, I don't know how many square footage of it. Liquor license in place, well placed on Collins for a lot of the traffic heading in and out of the beach. And Tug says, I think we can make a go of it as a, what do you call it? In those days, they call them burlesque houses, you know?
Yeah, were they nude?
What do you mean, were they who? Me and Tug?
No, Frank.
No, Frank, not you.
Oh, the dancers, yeah. The dancers were in burlesque, you did what was called a striptease. So you'd have the dancer go out and it'd go, hi, my name is Sunset Jane or some jazz, I don't know, some name that we came up with. And it would dance around. And it would pop around the stage going, woo, woo. And gradually off would come the top. Off would come to Bob, but you wouldn't see it all because by the time the top came fully off and it was fully exposed, then the lights came down, ta-da, and the band would hit a fanfare. Oh, I get it. Okay, that's why they call it striptease. Exactly. Well, but while we owned this joint at the beach, then the fully nude started to come in. Or not fully nude, but the topless joint started to come in, and the nude bar. And that's when I said to Tug, I said, you can take, I said, the top's coming off. What about the bottom? Okay, when do me, Frank Gray, when do I see my fun? And Tug goes, you know, sit down, Frank. You need a glass of water. But I said, no, seriously. So
you're claiming to have invented the bottomless bar.
I'm not saying I invented it. I'm telling you right now, I owned the first bottomless joint along with Tug Barkley on Miami Beach.
What's Miami Beach?
What do you mean, what's Mama Beach? Miami Beach, Bug.
Bud,
it's, I'm not a general. It's Frank Gray's accent. All right, so what was the name of the place? Well, we called it Bottom of the Bear. The first name I wanted to give it was Bottoms Up. Tug loved it and then found out Bottoms Up was a magazine or was a dirty book or something that somebody owned the rights to. So that's, I said, let's call it what we feel about it. Let's call it who we are. Let's call it what it ought to be called. Bottom of the barrel.
And that's what you wound up calling it.
What do you think I'm talking...
Frank!
I'm sorry, Margaret. Yes, that's what we wound up calling it. Bottom of the barrel, and was on Collins back... What was the year? It was either 1971 or 1968. Or it could have been 63.
Come on, Frank. What year?
I don't remember. It was late 60s. And we had a lot of fun for about... I was going to ask you, how long was it open? Oh, about 6 months. They shut us down.
Oh, of course they shut you down. Frank was trying to finesse the authorities. What were you telling them?
I, at one point...
Go ahead, Frank, say it.
All right. At one point I called, I said it was religious freedom.
Religious freedom?
Yes, Phil. What I said to the Miami Beach city people. I said, look, you can't shut down my bottomless place because this is a church.
Oh my God, don't even tell me what the church is called.
It was called the Church of the Nudity of Life.
You've never told me anything about this. Why do I think you're lying?
Margaret, I don't tell you everything, okay?
All right, Frank.
It was called the Church of the Nudity of Life in Worship, and I told the Miami Beach City, I said, this, how dare you shut me down and stifle my religious expression? So that's all it took. So they bought that. They bought it for 6 months, and they finally said, you guys are, you got people walking around with no underwear on. And then that city council guy, I think his name was Hag Habitat, or Hag Habaday. And
Hag Habaday, I remember him.
Yeah. And it finally came in and said, let me tell you what, Gray, this is nothing more than a bunch of people walking around, a bunch of women walking around with no underwear on. You're shut down. I said, my religious phrase, I couldn't even get the word freedom out. And Habaday had a cop kind of walk in and just press his nose against mine. I said, you win. So that's a fascinating story, Frank. Oh, listen, I've had a hell of a life.
God, it's great. In the 6 months that it was open and it was bottomless, did you have good business?
We had roaring business. You crazy?
Frank, now I really don't believe you because you've told me about every business success.
Well, some of them, how am I going to tell you about? All right, maybe it wasn't roaring success. We had a good, steady clientele, but a lot of guys didn't want to be seen going in there. A lot of people thought it was, they'd get busted. People didn't believe it. And then, of course, the concept of it being a church. Now, you called this the church of the full nudity of life, something like that. And that's how Miami Beach was able to keep their hands off of you for a while. Yes, religious freedom. Get it? You've heard of it, right? Yeah, well, Frank Gray can play that game, too. So we had, we call it the church. And for a while, it stayed, they didn't know what to do. The Miami Beach and all of the city fathers and all of these religious freaks, all the weirdos and all the religious Bible bangers, they were like, huh, what? We can't bust it. It speaks our language. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll bet you spoke their language. Women with no bottoms on. That's the language of the Bible thumpers?
Hey, from your lips to God's ears, But that's, but then finally after 6 months, I guess they were sitting around their kitchen table one Sunday morning reading Bible verses. Probably one of them looked up and said, that guy Gray is playing us for the fool. And I think they all piled into their two-tone Chevy, rolled on down to my bar, to my beautiful church of the nude, and shut your ass down, and shut my ass down. Rolled over in their two-tone Ford, huh? Yeah, with their white socks, their white shirts, their black, oh man.
Well, a dream deferred, Frank, and then you came to Los Angeles.
Then I came out to L.A., and I gotta say, it was a pretty good move, because as soon as I got to L.A., I fell into...
Yeah, you started producing TV shows and stuff, right?
Well, I tried to produce TV shows, and I met Margaret on the one thing.
Yeah, on Bunkhouse, we know the story.
All right. Well, that is great. That's just one of the many stories that I hear you tell, Frank, and a lot of the great stories that come out of South Florida. Every time that we're down here, we get a little taste of the history. Well, what about you? You said you were at WSHE, right? I was at WSHE. I don't know how many people know my tenure at I was the music director at WSHE during the spring of 78, the spring and the summer, and just before I came to Los Angeles. So I went from WSHE Radio in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, and then I went to K-West in Los Angeles in late 1978. But I worked for the Milner family. They were great people. I loved them. Gino and Jackie Milner. I mean, these people were cool. They were like 60 going on 20. Jackie went out and sold the station. This is a woman who, a very stylish woman in her early 60s, beautiful gal, and knew how to sell a rock station, knew how to sell an album rock station. And she went out, and it was Jackie who came up with this concept called, what are you doing, bud? He's pretending like he's nodding off.
I'm sorry.
Don't do that, bud.
If you find it boring, bud, go inside and have yourself some hot chocolate or something.
Whatever.
But Jackie came up with this idea of Concert FM. It was a 20-minute sweep of live music at the bottom of every hour and sold it. Concert FM, huh? Yeah. And then Gino was our general manager and the owner of the station. He was a great guy. And I had a lot of fun. But going out to WSHE,
on whatever the hell road that is. And I've bothered people about this. Look, Henry, if you can't tell people where it is, how the hell are they supposed to know?
Phil is always saying, where was WSHE? And people tell you and you don't believe them.
No, actually, one guy did actually tell me. He pinpointed it for me on a map. It was right off of what is now the Florida Turnpike. The transmitter towers are still there. And at one time, it was a mobile home park. I think we sat right in the middle of a mobile home park, if I'm not mistaken. I don't, man. But, I drove all the way over to SHE from my little apartment over on Las Olas. I wasn't on Las Olas.
You were on Hendricks Isle.
Oh, wait. You were on... I know Hendricks Isle. Those are the fingers, you know. Yeah, they were like fingers on the Intercoastal Canal. Right, fingers of land. And you're over there, and you're right off of Las Olas. I was right off of I was right not too far down from A1A. And that's where I spent a very eventful and pretty damn fun spring and summer of 1978 before I eventually went on to Los Angeles. All right, guys, we are live here in South Florida. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we're going to be right back. Bobby Dooley and I guess Steve.
Yeah, they're out there. Hi, Ms. Dooley.
Can we come in?
Yeah, come on. Bobby and Steve Dooley are with us. They have flown into South Florida with us, and we'll be talking with them in just a moment. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is Frank Gray for the world-famous Phil Henry Show and a website and a Phil Henry Show backstage pass. You can't beat it with a stick. Get a backstage pass, the world-famous Phil Henry Show website, for a month or for a year. Sit back and have yourself, maybe for the first time in your life, a good time, as we like to say. It's the greatest value online other than porn. We're going to come right back here with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Back here with the world-famous Phil Henry. Thanks a lot, Frank. That was very good.
I just...
Frank improvised that.
Yeah, I provided the music.
Bobby, come on in.
Hi. Bobby, how are you? I'm great. And I just want to say, Mr. Henry, we're very grateful that you invite us to the broadcasts.
We like coming out to South Florida and everything.
We love coming here to South Florida and seeing how the place has changed. Now, we didn't know there's going to be so much rain.
Did you guys get caught in it at all? Well, we were driving in from the airport.
We were driving in from the airport, and we got a little bit of rain. Steve.
I got a convertible.
Steve got a convertible and insisted on having the top down.
You got to be kidding me. Well, no, we put it up.
We did put it up.
So, Bobby, did you get some... What was it, Steve?
I just got blowback.
I don't like the term blowback, if you don't mind. I don't like it either. You know.
But you got some static?
We got a little bit of commentary from some of the people at Western Estates. They didn't like me discussing Spanx.
Oh, God.
Well, Margaret, you know something? You and I had an in-depth discussion on... the pros and the cons of Spanx.
Well, honey, let me...
No, Steve. Because Steve did not pronounce it correctly, and this is what got us into trouble.
Well, hold on. My understanding, did you call it Spanx?
Yeah, I did. I called it Spanx.
Steve was saying that Steve was saying that Margaret and I were talking about Spanx, and that...
I can well imagine.
Yes, that triggered an entire discussion of what sewer, of what toilet... we would put our brains in at night before we went to sleep. Things like that. Well, here's the thing. It was very juvenile. Spanx, whether people wear them now or not, I don't know. But Bobby and I talked about that. When Steve went to publish the newsletter for Western Estates...
Now, is this a newsletter that's independent of our show log, Mr. Dooley?
Yeah, it's just something I wrote. Since last night, Bobby and Margaret talked about Spanx. And I didn't, and I misspelled it, and I'm sorry about that, and I've apologized a great many times.
Dooley, look,
Come on, Mr. Gray.
Now, Dooley, wait. You know, you got to get it right. If you don't get it right, you'll regret it for the rest of your life. Do you understand?
No,
I don't think you do. You've got to get it right, Dooley, and you got to get it right all the time Saturday night. If the women are talking about Spanx and not Spanx, holy God.
Yeah, it's
Well, what happened was Gary Threadcock came over and said, you talk about your wife spanking it. You talk about spank or you talk about you spanking it or your wife. And that's when I...
Yeah, and that's when Steve almost slugged him if Gus Beacom hadn't been there.
Yeah, Gus held me back.
Yeah, Gus held you back.
I swear to Almighty God.
Okay, I don't know. Is this going anywhere?
What are you talking about? Phil, this is about your show and a discussion that was on your show.
Yes, you guys were talking about Spanx, and then you got into this exploding ass implant thing.
Yes, I did. That had nothing to do with the controversy at Western Estates. This had entirely to do with a mispronunciation by my husband, which led to a physical confrontation.
All right. This is a show that's over a week old.
It was actually last year, Phil. It was an encore show.
Oh, gee. So, look at that. You almost got yourself sued, Henry, because of a show that's over a year old.
I didn't get sued. I got Ms. Dooley talking about Spanx and her husband saying they were talking about Spanx. And I got to tell you something.
It's getting old.
You better believe it's getting old. If I got to hear about Spanx this or Spanx that or something else, I'm going to lose it. Okay?
Hey, look, it's your show, Henry.
I know it's my show, but Mr. Dooley, did you write S-P-A-N?
Yeah, I wrote S-P-A-N-K. And I said, my wife and Margaret Gray were discussing Spanx. And that's when this guy, Threadbare, said, were they discussing Spanx or is it something you were doing? And that's when I said, oh, why, you dirty. And that's when Gus Beacom stepped in.
Okay, so there's some big news.
Well, you know something, Mr. Henry? You invite us to Florida to give us the latest and the greatest on the Western Estates scene. And so we're laying it out there for you, okay?
How's Spookorama? Did it go good?
Spookorama was a disaster. Spookorama, I don't ever want to...
Yeah, Spookorama sucked.
You haven't mentioned Spookorama.
Well, for people who don't know, Spookorama was the annual Halloween celebration.
I wouldn't call it a celebration.
Well, it was an annual Halloween contest. You'd crawl into people's houses, and if they woke up, you'd try to scare them or something?
We'd leave a bag of candy, and sometimes people would wake. We had one woman, Dolores Abercrombie, who suffered a cardiac arrest.
Yeah, it's very, very regrettable.
And yet you still kept on doing Spookorama. We kept on doing Spookorama because people said they enjoyed it. And what happened to Dolores was what you call in show business, Phil, a one-off. Is that it?
Maybe they call it that in show business. I don't know what they call it when a woman dies of a heart.
Oh, my God, so a woman had a cardiac arrest while you were creepy crawling the house?
We don't creepy crawl. If the door's unlocked, we go in and leave a bag of candy.
If the door's unlocked, how many doors do you find unlocked?
Well, at that time, we were jimmying open some screens.
Are you putting me on? You know what? I wish to God somebody had contacted me. You talk about an easy lawsuit.
Hey, let me tell you, we're the Homeowners Association president and vice president, and
it's not a country, Dooley.
Well, at the time, we did have authorization because everyone signed NDAs. These are non-disclosure agreements where you say it's okay to get creepy crawled and for the Spookorama to take place. You gotta be kidding. And no one tried to challenge that in court. No. We had Dolores croaked, not croaked off. Dolores went...
Yeah, Dolores went feet up.
She didn't go feet. Dolores passed on, but then we found out from her son that it could have been a suicide because that night he said she'd taken a handful of pills. I'm kidding. No, she didn't.
Well, isn't that funny?
I'm just trying to lighten the mood, huh? A little bit.
All right, Bobby and Steve, thank you very much for that information. Spookorama.
Are you pushing us to the side?
For now, yes.
Good, because I think I saw cheesecake.
Yeah, it was...
Okay, so... Are you kidding me or something?
About what?
Yeah, in other words, Spookorama, they had Spookorama, and they've got non-disclosure agreements.
They've had people sign these agreements that they're allowed to creepy crawl their houses on Halloween in exchange for a bag of candy. Yes, Phil, yes.
Well, I'd love to know whether these NDAs or whatever the hell they're called.
No, it's not exactly an NDA. It's a, I believe it's called a ATCC.
What is that?
Ability to creepy crawl. I'm only kidding.
Yeah, okay, thanks a lot, Frank, for your legal opinion. That is it for our opening night here in South Florida. We'll be back tomorrow night, you guys, to talk to you with more from the world-famous Phil Henry Show and Tales of South Florida with Frank Gray. We've got Bobby Dooley, Steve Dooley. Thank you very much, guys.
Where's the cheesecake? It's over here.
Margaret Gray. Bud, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Phil Henry. And we're saying goodbye here from South Florida, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yes, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on Podcast One.